I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
We are talking through part two of Gearing Up to Give Thanks on that path to our escalation of appreciation. And this week, we got a new question, and it's this one right here. I want you to think about it. Who's responsible for you? And you, yeah. What I'm asking here is, who do we commend when you crush it? And who do we condemn when you botch it? Because you know you do. You know you do. We're going to find that out. But first, let's recap from last week. Last week, we saw how overcoming our anxiety takes the constant gratitude that only comes from filling our lives with those prayerful reminders of the good that God is giving. Right? We've got to put those around us all the time because those reminders are the things that inspire us and empower us to actually have the ability to let go and thereby give God control. Because worry is born from a belief that we have control over our lives. And that ain't true. Whereas gratitude is born from a belief that God has control over our lives, which He does. So we ought to be full of that gratitude. We need that gratitude adjustment. So today, we're going to look for the wrench in our gears that gets in the way of thinking those thoughts that can fix our focus. Because remember this, all right? Sin is not conquered by the will of your heart. It is conquered by the fill of your heart. All right? We get that confused a lot, but it is not by your power that it is done. So like we discussed last week, our whole job is just to be careful to let the right stuff in to our heart, into our heart by being thoughtful about what we let get our attention, because that's how we get it in. So we need to find the reason why all of us still have these hearts and minds with a bunch of bits and pieces of selfish sin. Because if we know that, we know how to do it, how come it's not done? We got to find out what the problem is. We need to see what makes us mix up the good things with the bad things. And we got a great scripture that's going to start this journey, all right? Paul provides us with a great place to start. He says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers," okay? "So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." Sad that we have to make that distinction, but it's true. We got to tell you, we don't preach, and we preach ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. This is where we all kind of go off the rails here. We got to be careful not to confuse the human container for the spirit that it contains. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made His light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ, okay? You got to follow that, but that just means it ain't you, all right? But, he goes on, and this is where we got to pay strict attention, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's us. That's the human jar, is the jar of clay. And we have that great, incredible treasure in us to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Okay, that is how it works. You are the vessel. God put His spirit into the flesh to demonstrate the differences, right? By juxtaposition. And at the same time, it highlights His ability, you know, by putting it in us. It's the same way, it'd be like giving a concert pianist a Casio keyboard, right? Because the fact that they can make something so crummy sound so good just emphasizes how incredible they are and how inhibiting their instrument actually is, right? Well, that's us. It's not a fun analogy, it's a true one. So likewise, God deliberately designed things to pound a profoundly important point into each one of our heads, and that's this. Good happens in spite of us, not because of us. Sorry. It's a good news kind of sermon here, but this is the truth, right? It happens in spite of us, not because of us. He's working with a bunch of Casio keyboards here. He put such a great treasure into such weak vessels, so when anything at all that is awesome happens in our lives, we would be wowed by the work of the power of God, knowing that it is just way beyond the power of us jars of clay, right? We can't do it. We'd go, how on earth are we doing this? It's clearly not me. Okay, problem is, though, right here, when we see that, when we actually start to get on that path, when we see his work start to fill our lives, well, our pride just steps in and prompts us to take credit as if we're actually full of ourselves, which is what happens, you know, when we're told you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? No, that's crazy, right? But that's how crazy we are actually willing to be just to feed our pride. We'll believe that. Even if that means missing the whole humbling point that God is trying to drive into us by playing with us crummy instruments. He's doing it on purpose to show us that. So we got to be careful, okay? We got to be careful because it is a deadly, deadly mistake to take the credit that we need to give in God's plan for us to live. We have to make sure we're putting it where it's supposed to be, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, which is a strange thing that you have to be told that, because you already know that, but we'll lie to ourselves. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Got it? Okay. You don't have anything to do with it. It was from him. You don't get to boast about nothing. He's doing all the work. And taking credit, thinking that we had some part in that, is boasting about our actions so that we can give ourselves God's glory. And that's a big deal, because that's stealing. That is stealing, because from God and through him and for him are all things. So to him be the glory forever. It only makes sense, right? All glory belongs to God, because as the creator of the universe, he gets credit for everything inside the universe, right? That seems fair. I think we can concede that point. And if we're honest, guys, we already knew that, right? We already knew that. We knew that every good thing that is in our lives, and anywhere else, everywhere else for that matter, was caused by something other than us. No matter how much we want to take credit for it, we know it wasn't us who put it into motion. And I will tell you what, personally, that is a terrifying, terrifying thought to me. Because from a young age, I have been so scared that I would be found out, because I always felt like a fraud. I felt like a liar. Because as far back as I can remember, people have told me that I was smart. And I ain't. I am tricky. It is much different than being smart. I am just tricky. Because all I have ever done was just copy the character of people who seemed smart and then try to pass it off as my own, right? I think a lot of us do that. It's a good little plan, but guess what? That's plagiarism. You're not supposed to do that. And I'll tell you what, as a fake member of the intellectual elite, I knew that this was the cardinal sin. And we take it so seriously, because by neglecting to give correct credit, we become both a liar and a thief instantaneously like that. However, okay, we're done with the bad news. Here comes the good news, okay? There's a truth that just set me free There's a truth that set me free, and it's this. There is a way to be praised instead of being punished for copying. And it's so easy. All you got to do, tell people where you get your ideas. Just don't try and pass them off as though they're your own. Because they'll still think that you're smart. They'll just think that your source is smarter. And that's fine. That's okay. Because at least I'm not a liar and a thief. And you know what is great about this is your source will feel really good about it too. Because the only difference between plagiarizing and glorifying is giving credit where it's due. If you tell them, hey, here's a really smart thing I have to say, and I got it from this smarter thing over here, then they go, oh, that's great, and that's greater. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And when you do that, stealing from God becomes submitting to God just by simply giving him credit. You know, oh, that was incredible. Not me. That was God's doing. Now you're glorifying him. It draws that line for us between frauds and faithful, because this is the simplest truth. God's name is what makes the change from full of ourselves to full of glory. Just add it. By God's grace, I do anything. Peter explains this. He says, if anyone speaks, and Lord knows we do, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Oh, that's good. And Jesus himself adds to this. He says, hey, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? He's not against the good. He's just saying, give credit where it's due. And what's nuts about that is that means we not only have permission from the author of creation to copy his character exactly, but a command to just do it nonstop. That's freeing. That's wonderful. It's all laid out for me. So it begs this question, though. Why on earth, then, wouldn't we all just live an awesome life filled with glory if all it costs is just a little footnote in everything that we do and say that just says where we learned how to live? You know, if we just had some little something that we, you know, I don't know, maybe like a tag that said Christian on it, right? See, because it's got his name in it. It would tell you, I'm a Christian. Then people would know everything that you do is glorifying the right person. Well, I'll tell you what. The thing that stops us from sharing our source, why we kind of try and keep it here, is because I think that we will pick plagiarizing if we think that glory comes from earning instead of learning. Right? That's we got to get that thought out of our head. And it takes a lot of work to get that, to let go of that instinct to think that giving credit to someone else takes away our power and authority. Right? It's like, I got to give him credit. Oh, I must be losing something. But that's not true. That is not true. It's actually quite the opposite. And it reminds me of this story of this lifelong atheist who was on a hike one day when suddenly a grizzly bear just appeared out of nowhere and just began charging right at him. And as he ran, terrified, heart pounding from fear, he tripped and fell. And the bear was immediately upon him. And just as the bear raised his paw to strike, the atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" And right there, time froze. And a voice from heaven said, "Stephen, after all these years, are you telling me that you're willing to finally acknowledge me? Have you become a believer?" And the atheist said, "Well, I wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you what, if you could just make this bear a Christian, well, that would really help your case." "Very well," replied God. And as time began again, the bear immediately dropped its right paw and brought both of them together and bowed its head as it spoke. and said, Lord, for this food that I am about to receive, I am truly thankful. Mm-hmm. True story. True story. Yeah. That's how I got here. Yeah. No, it's funny, but it turns out when you're full of yourself, you're on your own. But good things come to those who give thanks, right? That is the truth. So if we want to keep the good things in our life as the godly reminders that we need, it's going to mean learning where we're still living like a life of glory means earning. We still do it, even though we should know better. And here's why, okay? Because there are two ways that we behave so subtly in this style that it's really easy to miss how it is lowering our credit score, our giving God credit score, which is the important one, all right? And we do it in two places that are seemingly opposite, but very similar. One, we do it in our speech, and two, we do it in our silence, okay? First, let's take on speech. I want you to think about how you frame what you say. Every single day, you have opportunities to say things a multitude of ways, and we pick the ones that are a little bit more self-glorifying because you've got these simple statements like, I worked really hard for this. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I finally figured it out. Did you? But those little statements like that absolutely assert ourselves as the source of our blessing, but they just do it in sort of like a nonchalant way that just goes under the radar so that it doesn't alert anyone to the pride that's really behind it. And there are tons, just loads of these secretly self-empowering phrases like, hang on, let me show you. Oh, I think I got it figured out. Or, hey, this is the only way because I know all the other ways, right? And there's also these little words like improve or invent that go with these other little words like I, my, me, and mine, right? And we use those all the time. I was thinking about this too. You know how often we say my God, and I think we say it the wrong way, like my ownership God, not the one I worship? Careful, careful. And now listen, we do need those words, right? We need those words to share the power of God at work in our life, right? It is important. They can be used the right way, but they can also take on a life of their own and start confusing God's role as our sole instigator. So be sure to just take the time every single day to add this to whatever is said about your beliefs and your behaviors, whatever's being said about them. Make sure that we always say, such confidence, you know, that you're witnessing, that you're seeing in these beliefs or behaviors I'm expressing, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God, okay? Everything does. Everything. So in all things, keep it clear. Daily reminders. And here's the tricky part, okay? Even if we get good at catching ourselves stealing credit, which, boy, I tell you, I preach this message, and then between services, I caught myself about 25 times. Just doing it. It's practice. It is hard. But you can get good at it. Catch yourself stealing credit for so many things. Even after that, though, we got to watch our words to make sure that we're not setting others up to take some for themselves. Okay? And that's extra hard because giving others glory sure sounds like a selfless and righteous thing to do. When in fact, actually, a lot of the time you are tempting them with the second way that we gain glory at the expense of our credit score. Silence. Silence. You can take it with silence. It's subtle, but I recognize this trap, and since I recognize this little trap, I've never felt so sorry for pretty people. You poor, poor, pretty people, like my wife. My poor, poor, pretty wife. It's too bad, because I've heard 100 people compliment her looks as though she had anything to do with it. She don't. And each time, though, she has to either take the compliment as though she deserves the credit, or, and I've seen this happen a lot, we talked about it, or awkwardly point out that she's not the one responsible. How do you do that? Well, they're, I was born with these eyes. I didn't do it myself, but they are beautiful. Anyway, you poor, poor, pretty people. I really feel bad for you. I wish you all could have been blessed with the averageness that just keeps the compliments away from the rest of us. It's just, what a blessing, you know? Oh, thank you, Lord. But look, truthfully, all of us, okay, if we think about it, we're all given opportunities every single day to take credit by our silence. We're given compliments. People do, I mean, we're nice to each other. We try to build each other up, right? Whether you're promoted at work or you get an A on a test, or even if you drop the buzzer beater for the win, something real big, right? But no matter when any of those things, accepting praise without passing to God is how we keep it to ourselves. And that's a bit of a problem. That is a problem. Now, I do want to address, because this kind of came up too, is like, it is tricky, because then you say, well, should I never say anything nice about anybody ever again? I don't want to set them up. And yeah, that's right. We're supposed to be mean. We're supposed to be mean. That's what people think of Christians. That's why we're mean. Just no, give it to God. No, there's a way you can appreciate people. There's a distinction between appreciation and glorifying. You know, you can appreciate what people do without glorifying the person and thinking that they're in some way superior. There's a distinction there. So I just want to make sure that you understand that. We can still be nice. We can be good, nice Christians. We don't have to be psychotic. Okay. So anyway, yes, but that is true. We should be always redirecting that to God, redirecting anything to God. That's where it comes from. So, as we're told, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, right? The Lord of your life, as through which everything comes, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and therefore overflowing with thankfulness. If you're living in Him, you know that that's natural, right? Because if it is really Him that is filling your life, then it'll be Him that's spilling out in your speech, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, okay? And that includes you. You're the biggest culprit there. Because sure, it's the praise of others that can do that, but also the pride in yourself. You can convince yourself of some pretty incredible things. But that praise and that pride, which depends on this world rather than on Christ. Everything relative to Christ. That's how we got to get. Okay, I just discovered this guy. I've talked, I had read or listened to a TED Talk or something, but A.J. Jacobs has written many amusing books. They're really fun, and they're all aimed at giving readers the reality of some really specific ideal that is just actually lived out. He just goes for it, right? So he goes from, like, reading the entire Encyclopedia Britannica in an effort to be the smartest man alive, and it's like 33,000 pages, and he's just, let's see what happens if I do that over the course of a year, to another year that he took to write a book where he sat down and with a bunch of people tried to pull out every rule and law in the Bible and then live 1 year without breaking any of them. Very fascinating stuff. Funny stuff, too. So whatever he's doing, he throws himself fully into his work. But after he did the book on living biblically for a year, he was inspired to write another book called Thanks a Thousand. Okay, and I love this premise. It's so interesting. In this book, he seeks to personally thank every single person responsible for getting a cup of coffee into his hand. Okay, so you go to your Starbucks or whatever, and after he thanks the barista, he then travels the world to try and thank everybody else, from farmers and chemists and artists and presidents and truckers and mechanics and biologists and miners and smugglers and goat herders for some reason, who each individually somehow along the way play a vital part in getting the coffee to his hand. And it's just such an interesting thought, how many people are responsible for so many things, such a big part of any little thing. And so although I love the motivation behind this book, because gratitude is great, it's such a good practice, and it just really makes you understand the scope of it. It's a great idea, but I just can't help but think that God is chuckling a little bit at the irony because he's a non-believer. And as a non-believer, even after all the effort that he took to see every single person who deserved some gratitude for that, he missed the single thanks that every other thanks was leading to. The reason why there's anything worth thanking here is to point you in the direction to the one thanks that matters. And it goes to show how a focus on gratitude alone is great and it can bring us so close, but only so close, because there's only one thanks that can transform all of our examples of good into experiences of God. And that's thanking Jesus. You have to see that that's what it's all leading to. Because salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. One. It's all designed to get us there. So remember, even if you're going through the motions and you got some good, you got a hold of some good and you're grateful for it, you know, if it is not producing peace in your life, peace in your heart, peace in your mind, you might need to look a little bit closer. Because I'm going to say it again, and this is the tricky part. Confusing the human container for the spirit that it contains leads to a dead end. That's important. So receive one another. Yes, receive one another. We're not saying this is, you know, not be careful, don't do anything, be afraid of it. No, do be out there, be talking, be thanking, be loving, be grateful in all things. Receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God in all things, to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, just deflect that glory to God. And that means that we got to verify what we glorify every day with just a quick credit check. And we do that really simply by just asking ourselves, are we thanking God for the good that he himself actually gave? Or are we thanking ourselves by conveniently confusing the creator with his creation? One of those jars, a little bit of clay. I know. And I promise you, though, I promise, we're almost done. That's my first promise. But I promise that if you make that whole idea the food for thought that you share this Thanksgiving, God will surely, absolutely, 100% share his glory with you. Because he wants to, that's why. He wants to. He loves you. His glory is for us. He made this place to find a way to share that glory with us. And you got to ask yourself, why? Why would he want to? He deserves it. He has all that credit. Why do we get any of it? Luckily, he explains it. He explains it through the pen of Mark Twain when he says, you know, to get the full value of a joy, you must have somebody to divide it with. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you and we truly thank you for your will to fill our lives with your good in spite of us. Holy Spirit, keep our speech and our silence focused on you as we work to give credit where it's due. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and we follow you, to learn from you and glorify you with each of our own little jars of clay. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.